Good morning. Hi, I'm Mitch. Oh, it's excellent. It's a beautiful day outside and inside today, and I want to thank you for coming. If you're a guest, please fill out the guest card in front of you and deliver it to the guest center in the foyer where you get a cinnamon crunch bagel, week-old Krispy Kremes, and it's kind of an inside joke, and coffee and the nicest people in the world. So please do that and let us put a face with a name, say hi. Only announcement I really want to give you today is inside the front of your bulletin, it talks about NeighborLink. NeighborLink is an outreach where we go serve people who need to be served and can't serve themselves. And we're meeting Saturday, April 16th at the Seeker Coffee House on Coldwater Road. It's new, and it's 9 to noon. If you've never served in a NeighborLink function, I encourage you to come Saturday from 9 to noon, okay? They have time to talk and have fun at the beginning and the end, and you'll be done by noon. And I can't do anything, but there's always been something for me to do. Sometimes it's just be social. But come, no matter what you can do or can't do, come to the NeighborLink event Saturday. I think that's the 16th at the Seeker Coffee House. Well, you can imagine how many people ask me, what are you going to give away this week? Well, the theme of the day is Kelly might be here. So what I thought we would do is give away a key to a new house. It's like Oprah all over again. And it's under your seat. So everybody stand up. And look under your seat right now. Go. And look under your seat. Get up out of your seat. Get up. Who found it? Who found it? Hey, can y'all stand up? Man, it's a challenging group this morning. It's the weather, isn't it? It just kind of gets you going. I'm in charge. Actually, you all found it, and here's why. The key to the new house we're going to give away, it's a spiritual house, and that's the message for today. And the key to that house is humility. And it's humility that gets me up off the pew and gets me on my knees before God and gets me to serve other people outside as well as inside this body. And so we're going to learn about a spiritual house today with life that's rooted in humility. And the lesson is this. Buildings in this time that we're going to talk about, even 100 years ago, you can see farmhouses and barns built this way. But they were built on four cornerstones. But one cornerstone was the most important, and it had primarily three functions. Steve, you probably remember this, right? You built something 100 years ago and got that cornerstone out. It had three functions. First one was, it was the foundation. It was the first stone of the foundation. Second function was, it was the central point of measurement. It was the benchmark by which all other stones would be measured. So it was the foundation. It was the benchmark. And it connected the stones. It connected two walls that would come on top of it at a right angle. And so this stone, the cornerstone, would be a foundation. And it would be the benchmark, all other stones measured by it. And it would be a connecting stone. Walls would actually come together and connect on top of it. Our response is a spiritual house of God, as the church, as a local church, as a priesthood of all believers, is that we would build on the foundation, that we would align our lives with the cornerstone, and that we would connect others to that cornerstone. That's the message. You can go. No, hey. That is the message. And so as you're standing, let's read the text. This is when hostility meets holiness. Today is a spiritual house. And we're going to read 1 Peter 2, 4 through 10, our text. As you come to him, the living stone, rejected by men but chosen by God and precious to Him. You also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For in Scripture it says, "See, I lay a stone in Zion, a chosen and precious cornerstone, and the one who trusts in Him will never be put to shame." Now to you who believe, this stone is precious, but to those who do not believe, the stone the builders rejected has become the capstone, and a stone that causes men to stumble and a rock that makes them fall. They stumble because they disobey the message, which is also what they were destined for. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Let's pray. And now, God, may the words be yours, not mine. May your Holy Spirit impact every single heart, including mine. God, reveal yourself to us in order to reveal yourself through us. God, I just pray right now that as a spiritual house, as a local church, as the priesthood of all believers, that we would build on the foundation of Jesus Christ, the cornerstone. That we would collectively, God, align our lives with Him, the cornerstone, the benchmark. And God, that we would connect other people with Him. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. First, we see that a spiritual house builds on the living cornerstone. Write it down. Builds on the living cornerstone. Notice it's living. Can we go ahead and show them that living spiritual house? We're going to show you a living spiritual house. It's a church. It's got a little movement in it. You know, it's alive, you know, and it's so alive that it goes out in the culture and brings life to that culture, right? Yeah, I kind of like that. That'd be good to work out too. But I also got a real easy illustration. Whatever age you are, you're going to be able to remember the message. Lily, you're going to be able to remember this one easy. So bring up the house, the other house, and we're going to see that a spiritual house builds on the foundation of the cornerstone. On the cornerstone. He's the living stone, capital S. We're the living stones, little L, little S. And He's doing that so that we would be a holy priesthood, so that we would be set apart to connect people to Him. Very simple, very clear. And that we offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God. We're going to figure out what that is, okay? So Peter writes this, and he's referring back, I think, to an experience he had with Jesus. And it's Matthew 16:16. And they're in Caesarea Philippi, and there's this big rock. I've talked to people who have been there, and there's this big rock. Kind of like we're in Georgia and we see Stone Mountain. We'd be standing beside it. We'd refer to it if we were standing beside it. And Jesus is talking with Peter, says, "Who do you say I am?" And here's what Peter says in Matthew 16:16. Peter answered, "You're the Christ. You're the Son of the living God." Jesus replied, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by man, but by my Father in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church. And the gates of Hades will not overcome it. I will give you the keys," humility, "to the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." What he's saying is, Peter, Petros, means rocky in Greek. And he says, "On this rock I will build my church," Petra. It's different. Jesus is saying, not on Peter, not on this stone we're looking at, not on any man, any idea, or any religion, but on me, Jesus Christ, and humility in me as the foundation of your life, that's how I will build my church. And the keys to that kingdom are humility by confessing who I am and surrendering your life to me. Peter says, as you continually come to Him, that's the continual present tense, not a one-time deal. As you come to Him means we come to Him. We live a life of coming to Him in humility. Because you see, you got up out of your seat, you got on your knees, you looked down your seat, you got up, you're ready to serve somebody, get on your knees, you're ready to humble yourself and come to Christ to collectively as a community. We do that so we can go serve others and connect them to God. But see, we have a lock. We have the lock of pride that stops us from that. And when it comes to the local church, a spiritual house, that lock manifests itself in one of two ways. You either walked in here today and said, you know what? I'm doing my own thing. I got my own ministry going. I don't have time for that church politics stuff. But I'm going to go out and build and do my own thing. Mitchell Cruz Ministries. Yeah. And you build it on yourself. Foundation of sand. Jesus says, that gets washed away. Don't do that. The other way you come in is you come in and you say, guess what, Steve, Mitch, Kelly, Bob, everybody, all the pastors, find me, feed me, fix my kids, cast stuff out of me. That's building it on us, not Christ. That ain't gonna work. A spiritual house has been designed to be built on the foundation of the cornerstone, and that cornerstone is living, he's alive, and it's Jesus Christ. Though he was rejected by man and crucified, he's precious to God and is alive today to live through us. Look what it goes on to say in Matthew with Jesus talking there. Jesus explains, how do you come? How do you come? And Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself, his selfishness, his pride, and take up his cross in humility and follow me. For whoever who wants to save his life will lose it, making life all about me and my pride and my ministry. But whoever loses his life for me will find it. You know, Bob Purdy told me that in every Eastern culture it's this way. But 2,000 years ago, it was off the charts, they understood this. The community was greater than the individual. Now, we live in the West, and we don't see it that way at all. It's all about me and my book titles and my doing this and my doing that for the kingdom. And we go back and look at the end of the day and say, look what I did. God, look what I did for you. But God's made it so that the spiritual house would be greater than any spiritual living stone. That to be built, I come in humility and say, I'm in the local church. Let's find out together about the living cornerstone. Let's serve one another. Let's do life together to be a holy priesthood, to connect other people to him. And it says, it gives a role of a priest there, and Peter says, offering spiritual sacrifices that are acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. What are those? What are those? Kind of confusing. Because Hebrews 10:10 says Jesus has paid the price for sin once and for all. 10:18 in Hebrews says you're not going to add anything to it. You can't add your sacrifice, something you're going to do. You can't add that to it. No need. We build on the foundation that it's done. So what is the spiritual sacrifices? What are those that are acceptable to God? Hebrews 13. Let's look at it. It's going to come on the screen. Verse 15, through Jesus, therefore, because he's told you just what I just told you, let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise. The fruit of lips that confess his name tells you what praise is. Do not forget to do good and to share with others, for with such sacrifice God is pleased. Paul tells us in Romans 12:1 to offer your body as a living sacrifice, your spiritual act of worship. So we confess Christ. We live a life of confessing Christ, of agreeing who he is, that he is the living cornerstone, that he is the foundation, and we do good by sharing in community with others because the community is greater than any one individual. So how do you do that? How are you going to do that? I want you to write this down. Two words. And you're going to think, Mitch, you're saying that all the time. You said it last week. Write it down. Small group. Small group. Every person here needs to be in a group of believers doing community and life together, built on the foundation of the living cornerstone. Every single person. No exceptions. None. How many people are in a small group? Raise your hand. How many people are not? Raise your hand. High. Higher. Okay, go find them, everybody. That's who we're... I just want to tell you right now, that's a measurable foundation that we are not living up to. We have to do it. The spiritual house, the community there is greater than any one individual, and doing life outside of it is not the way God intended it to be. You can get in a small group here by going to the men's group. Power equipment on Thursday mornings or Thursday afternoons. Steve teaches. Different people come in and they'll teach, but then they break up in small groups and you do life together. Living stones connected with the living cornerstone. You can go, if you're a woman, you can go to precepts, you can go to mobs. There's all kinds of opportunities for you to get in a small group. Here, just call us. If you're a couple, you need to get in a small group for couples that meets at least twice a month and gets out the Bible and says, how are we going to do life together in community? Because that's the way God designed it. We build on Him, the cornerstone, the foundation. We walk humbly together. We continually seek Him in humility to go serve others. And so when you go to NeighborLink, do it with a small group. When you go serve at some other function, you're doing it in a small group. We even have ministries here. The technical team would be a good example. It's a small group of doing life together in community because the whole, the spiritual house, is greater than any one living stone. I want to introduce you to a couple friend of mine, or friends of mine. And their story has forever altered my life. And this is Mike and Bethany Collins, and that's little Chase Corbin Collins. Not Chase Mitchell, but Chase Corbin, okay? Now, I thought that was really funny. Will you just laugh, please? Thank you. Everybody loves Corbin, and so they name their kids after him. So anyway, Corbin means sacrifice, isn't it right? Corbin means sacrifice, what we're talking about, to serve others. Mike and Bethany, in their first year of marriage, were pregnant. And Mike and Bethany do life together in community with other people. They're in a small group. They have a community of friends that have done life with them together. They come from Christian families. They go to Taylor University, and they're almost finished, and they do life together there. They're in community with other students. And when they found out they were pregnant, their friends came over and to Bethany because Mike was working a lot, and they prayed, they read the Bible, they prayed for the future of the child, and there was this excitement and this anticipation of how in community we're going to do this together. God's designed that you and I would do life together in community, and we would build as a spiritual house, as the local church, as the priesthood of all believers. Everybody plays. That we would build on the foundation, the cornerstone, the living cornerstone, Jesus Christ, who is alive, and these two did it. And I'm going to share you, unfold their story as we go along. Second, Peter tells us we, our spiritual house, aligns with the living cornerstone. The living cornerstone, Jesus Christ, is the benchmark by which every single life will be measured. Every single one, no exceptions. Peter says, if you align yourself, your life, your choices, with the living stone, with the cornerstone, the benchmark, then it's precious. If you fully surrender your life in humility to Him, it's precious. And you live that life. You continually come. Because He's the benchmark by which all will be judged. If you reject alignment with the living cornerstone, the benchmark, you will fall on that rock or that stone. He uses imagery. You will fall in judgment and be eternally separated from Him. It's not just a one-time, remember, it's not just a one-time coming. It's a life, a heart that is in relationship with him for eternity. Totally humbling myself, not in pride. John 3:36 says it this way. Whoever believes, whoever fully surrenders, whoever humbles himself, and the Son has eternal life. But whoever rejects the Son will not see life. For God's wrath remains on him. So the benchmark and how we treat that benchmark determines where we are for eternity. It's interesting that we want to justify ourselves. And so we come and we say, you know, I got my own thing going, I'm doing my own ministry, and we forsake the local church. We forsake community. And it's not how God designed it. But we also come in and kind of get a pass out another way by saying, pastors, fix me. It's your job. But God's designed it so that you would be a priest. You would connect people to God. It's always been this way. If you want to jot it down, it's Exodus 19, 5 and 6. Exodus 19, 5 and 6, God tells Moses, I'm building you a nation of priests. Everybody, even with this Levitical system that he's setting up, everybody is going to connect people to God. That's the way I've designed it. The Bible closes with that as well in Revelation. Very clear. Very, very clear. But look what Paul writes in Romans 9:30. Romans 9:30. About this rejection of the living cornerstone, the benchmark. What then shall we say? That the Gentiles who did not pursue righteousness have obtained it? A righteousness that is by faith? But Israel who pursued a law of righteousness has not attained it. Well, tell us why. Why not? Because they pursued it not by faith, but as if it were by works. They stumbled over the stumbling stone. They fall in judgment. As it is written, see, I lay in Zion a stone that causes men to stumble and a rock that makes them fall. And the one who trusts in him will never be put to shame. See, he's reaching back. Peter's reaching back and Paul's reaching back to Isaiah and Psalms. And they're talking about a time when God's people rejected him. They rejected him. And Peter's saying, you know what? Christ is that living cornerstone. And they're rejecting him today. And if they reject him today, if they reject alignment with him, then they are going to fall in judgment. But to those who humble their hearts and fully surrender to him and live a life of coming to him and being in community, oh, that living cornerstone who sacrificed his life for us once and for all and is alive today, he is precious. He is so precious. So how do we align our choices with his will? How do we not only walk humbly, but how do we do justly? How do we do it? Write it down. You ready? Discipleship. Write it down. Write it down. I'm looking. Discipleship. Discipleship. Just as every single person needs to be in community here, every single person needs to be in a discipleship relationship, being discipled into and discipling out. A lot of you are really, really smart, and you're scholars, and you're good people, and you teach, and you're wonderful. But it would be pride to say that no one can disciple me. So here's what I want to challenge you to do. I want you to find somebody. If it's a seminary professor locally to help expand your, go do that. They'll do that. Go do it. But I'm going to challenge you a little bit different way, a way that maybe Henry Nouwen would have challenged us. And that is, why don't you go to one of these NeighborLink functions and why don't you go to John Bars, an elder here, or Doug Crane and say, you know what? I want to apply what I know. I want to go serve other people. I don't just want all this knowledge to puff up. I want love that builds up others. I challenge you to do that. We need to be discipled. A lot of you are very gifted and you're not discipling anybody. You need to do that. You need to be pouring out the life of Christ in you into another person. It might be your child. It might be a kid across the street. might be a sister or a brother, might even be a father or a grandfather or a mother or a grandmother, whoever it is, I believe that God has put you in proximity with someone you can disciple. And if you need help on either of those, you call us. You call us and we will help you get connected to be discipled and to disciple. We need to align our lives with Christ, the benchmark, the living cornerstone. Does that make sense? It's a matter of the will. It's humility versus pride. And not try to carry the load ourselves, individual stones. Don't do that. I had this carpet roll in my driveway. That's what it's called. In the driveway. Really big. It was probably bigger than stage here. Could they be that long, Steve? A carpet roll? Okay. And I wanted to slide it over a little bit because I thought it was too far over one way. And so I just kind of went bent down and went, oh, and it didn't move, but I did. And so I realized later that it weighed 1,500 pounds. It was a dumb thing to try to move it. So I'm living life like this. For days, days become weeks, weeks become months. Is that in sign language? Weeks become months. And you know what? I thought it'll just get better, it'll just work out. And after I played tennis, it would feel worse, you know? And so one day I called my friend, a chiropractor, and I said, I think I need to come in. I used a speakerphone. So I said, I need to come in. Well, he basically stripped me down to check out the alignment. And then he put me face down and he aligned me. I think the people who were next door in the rooms next door were probably wondering what was going on because when he started doing this thing, I said, yes! And I go, that is what I came here for, you know? But anyway, listen, are you trying to carry your own ministry load and not doing it in community or in a discipleship relationship? Because if you are, you're going to find yourself out of alignment with the living cornerstone. And if you don't find a discipleship relationship, you're never going to get adjusted. But what a discipleship relationship does is it allows us to strip down, remove all pretense in the relationship, and to be face down in humility before God so that we can be aligned. I like it too. So let me introduce you again to Mike and Bethany. Mike and Bethany are in these kinds of relationships, and they're in getting connected to a small group here, and they have their own small group they kind of came with here. And in her pregnancy, 17 weeks in, Bethany loses all of her amniotic fluid and is told to abort the child. And so she has a choice. Am I going to align my choices with the benchmark, the living cornerstone, Christ? Or am I going to do what I'm being told to do? And she chose to keep the baby. Now, here's what that meant. That meant checking into the hospital, and until she could deliver, she's only 17 weeks along, she would be in bed. Well, remember, she's in community with other people, other believers, the priesthood of all believers. And they come alongside and they put Bible verses up all over her room. And so everywhere she would look, she could be reminded of the living cornerstone, of the benchmark and the choice that she had made. And this community begins to come alongside her and do this life together. And it's because she aligned her choices with the living cornerstone. Well, third, we see here from 1 Peter, chapter 2, verses 4 to 10, we see that in verses 9 and 10, that a spiritual house connects the living cornerstone with others. So we're going to have our house. We got our house up here? Sorry about that. Builds, aligns, connects. aligns the stones with the cornerstone and connects others with the cornerstone. That's what a priesthood does. A priest would be so connected with God that he would be a connection of God to other people and connect the two. That's what God has in mind for us. He uses these words, Peter does, chosen people, a family, royal priesthood. Can you imagine telling people 2,000 years ago who weren't that they were royal and they were priests? They say, what are you talking about? But Peter's saying you're a priest and you're a king, a holy nation to be set apart, to be signified, to be purified, to be set aside, a people belonging to God. Why? To declare his praises, to connect other people to him. He called us out of darkness into light. I want to go be that light to other people. How? Through mercy. Because he gave us mercy. We're a people of mercy. Now we go serve others in mercy in order for them to be connected to the living cornerstone. That's how he's designed it. Look at Acts 10, 34 and 35. Acts 10, 34 and 35. Peter has just been told in a vision to go pursue Cornelius, a God-fearing, seeking Gentile. And so Peter makes a connection and all things start to happen, and Cornelius surrenders his life to Christ, and Peter says, I now realize how true it is that God does not show favoritism, but accepts men from every nation who fear him and do what is right. See, for Peter, there's not two covenants. There's one. God has always been about a priesthood of all believers. He's always been about the local church, the body of believers, people who would come together in community and say, you know what? We're going to come to him in humility, the living cornerstone, and we're going to build on him. We are going to align our choices with him. And the whole, the spiritual house, is more important than any one stone. And we're going to connect other people to the living cornerstone. And Peter uses words from the Old Testament that God uses for Israel, he uses for the church. And New Testament writers do that all along. There's one covenant. There's one cornerstone. There's one people. It's those who would humble themselves to Jesus Christ as Lord. Cornerstone of their life. Build on that foundation. Align your life with his and connect other people with him through mercy. I want you to write this down. How do you want me to do that, Mitch? How do you want me to do that? Write down evangelistic relationships. Evangelistic relationships. Do you realize that if you're connected to the living cornerstone in community with other people, in a discipleship relationship, that when you encounter another person, that's a divine appointment? You're revealing the Spirit of Christ to them. And whether they're a believer or not, you will find him there at work. And you do it with mercy, through serving other people, letting them see this light. Jesus said, if they see that light, they'll praise my Father in heaven. So go, let people see the light of your good works of serving other people. Let them see the living cornerstone, because they'll worship him because they see you, a spiritual house in community, in discipleship, and in evangelistic relationships. It's an outflow. Let me tell you more about this story of Mike and Bethany Collins and Chase Corbin. Well, on November 1st, Bethany gave birth to Chase Corbin Collins. He was 1 pound, 11 ounces. He was due February 8th, but he was born November 1st. And the doctors once again said he's not going to make it. And the community of believers, a priesthood of all believers, a local church, the people they were in community with, came around them and began to serve them daily in the hospital as they had been prior. Doctors and nurses are taking note and saying, what's going on here? This is different. And Chase starts growing. And it gets like six or seven pounds. And they're talking about, you know what, you're probably going to be able to bring him home. But his heart and his lungs, they're not fully developed. The mold's going to be a problem. Mike and Bethany learned they can't live in Mike's old bachelor pad where there was plenty of mold. And so an elder comes along from here at this church and says, you know what, I think I can help you. He was told about the story by her community of friends. And they want to know if maybe we could do something to help them out. And he said, you know, I think I can. And that elder called somebody he knew who owned a brand new apartment unit never been lived in. And he said, you know, could we make that rent kind of attractive for them? We'll still pay a fair market. And the guy said, yeah. So he also got a group of people to cover their mortgage payment at their old house. Priesthood of All Believers coming alongside in community. And that gets covered. Well, after one sermon a few Sundays ago, we're all praying with you afterwards. And a couple comes up to me and says, our adult daughter has 2 weeks left to make a legal abortion. She's pregnant, and she's going to do it. We want to pray that she chooses life. And so we cry together, we pray together, and we pray that she would choose life. Same elder is aware of this, a person here at church. And he found out that the big reason she was going to abort the child is she didn't think she could afford the child. But if she could get food stamps, she'd keep the child. She couldn't live with her parents to have food stamps. She would need to live somewhere else. Where do you think the elder thought of for her to live? The moldy bachelor pad. So he goes to Mike and Bethany, and he said, you're getting your mortgage paid for. You know, you're okay on your rent. He said, if the same choice that you made for life was available to somebody else, and they would do that if they could live in your house, would you let them? Yes, because their lives were aligned with the living cornerstone, and they connected other people to him, and that girl chose life. And she lives in that place, and people are coming around her and serving her, and she's seeing the spiritual house of love, and she's experiencing it. And it's just amazing how this little life of Chase Corbin Collins is leading into another little life. Evangelistic relationships. People see the good works, and they're drawn to God. Well, last Saturday night, I got a phone call that little Chase Corbin Collins, his organs were not going to make it, and they were going to shut down, and there would be no heart or lung transplant. And so I went there Saturday night, and that community of believers who have come alongside and served this couple because they were in community, with all the doctors and nurses watching, I got with them, and I was moved by the story that I'd known taking place, by the life that begat life, and I see the situation, and I recognize that the Spirit of God is at work in Mike and Bethany in a mighty way, and in their friends, in their community, and we pray. And you know what? He stays with us. And Sunday, we got a group of elders together, and we went and we prayed again, and he stayed with us. But on Monday morning, we lost Chase Corbin Collins. And we believe that he's in the hands of God and with Jesus right now. And what I saw Monday morning, will stay with me the rest of my life. Because that spiritual house with Mike and Bethany, that humility that built their foundation on the cornerstone, that aligned their lives, their choices, to keep this baby with the cornerstone, who loved each other so much, loved their child so much, people loved them so much, that they connected people to that living cornerstone. When I saw them holding their baby in their hands, I knew there was only one hope, and that only hope is Jesus Christ. He is the life. He is the living stone, capital S. And he has designed it so that we would humble ourselves and come together in community in a way that would draw other people to God. And little Chase Corbin Collins, with his life and his parents' life, they did it. And there was a picture taken of him while he was still with us. And I want you to see it. It's an open, outstretched hand. And I think that's a picture of Jesus' hand to you and to me, saying, come on, build your life on me. Not some man, not some idea, not some religion, but life is only going to be found when you build your spiritual house on me, church, in humility. I think it's a picture of Jesus Christ, who's alive, saying, would you please align your choices with me? Align every thought, every feeling, every action, every choice with my will for your life. I'm the benchmark. Align with me. And I think he's saying, would you please open your hand and serve in community those in your church and outside your church so that they would come and connect with me. It's the way I've designed it, he would say. A royal priesthood, a spiritual house designed to connect people to God. You're going to see now pictures that tell the story better than I told it. And you're going to hear a song. It's called Held. I really believe that the idea that God has is that we would all be held by the hand of Jesus Christ, because he's the cornerstone. He's that life. And that we're doing life in his hand. The Gospel of John, it says, God's put everything into Jesus' hand. And that when we do that, when we build our foundation on him, when we align our lives with him, when we connect others to him, we find life in his hand. As you watch this, I just want you to ask God to speak to you on what you need to hear today.
Is too little. They let him go. They had no sudden healing. To think that providence would take a child from his mother while she prays is appalling. Who told us we'd be rescued? What has changed, and why should we be saved from nightmares? We're asking why this happens to us who have died to live. It's unfair. This is what it means to be held. How it feels when the sacred is torn from the light. And you survive. This is what it is to be loved and to know that the promise was when everything fell, we'd be held. This hand is bitterness. We want to taste it. Let the hatred numb. Our sorrow, the wise hand opens slowly to lilies of the valley, and tomorrow, this is what it means. Your life, and you survive this.
would you please stand? Let's pray. God, may this community, this spiritual house, come along Mike and Bethany through their struggle. God, may a world know us by our love. God, may we build our lives on you, the living cornerstone. May we align our every choice with you, the benchmark, that living cornerstone, your life. We can seek you and ask you and pray to you. God, may evangelism just be a byproduct of our surrender to you, so that other people would know us by our love, by our mercy, and come to know you. I'm reminded of the people who came to the funeral who probably did not know you, but they were drawn by your life and your love through Mike and Bethany and their friends and what they saw day in and day out. God, make us a people who are living and vibrant for you, a spiritual house. May each one of us be in community and small groups, in discipleship relationships, and may evangelism just be a byproduct, because every single person we meet will see your light and be drawn to you. May it be so in this place. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.